welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. Still grinning after that big Birds win yesterday. Hopefully we can string a couple together. Got a great show ahead of you for all your listeners tonight. Sean McCarthy's with us. He's been on the show before. Got great reviews the last time he came on here just about a year ago. But before we get going with Sean, let's begin as we do every show in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as Sean and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This show tonight is sponsored by the Knights of Columbus. Peter Marcico, can't thank you enough for your unwavering support. We would not be here if it wasn't for your generosity. So kudos to you, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to be on the air with our listeners. Ann and Ed, that was an amazing show last hour. I didn't know Lefty, but just heard a little bit about him just talking to Sean here in the pre-show. And what an amazing man, and just a great tribute to him. And his passing, and what a life well lived. So tonight's show is about fatherhood through the eyes of a Catholic man. And Sean McCarthy, who's been a dear friend of mine for a long time. I've been blessed to know a lot of great men and a lot of great fathers, and there's nobody that plays that role more than him. And I say to my own kids all the time, the need for mentors and just being around, the need for people to give you insight, show you model appropriate behavior, and give you words of counsel when you're going through a difficult time. And this is a guy that's been like that for me, an amazing father, and he's amazing because he takes the role. Nothing surpasses his role of husband and father. And I take great comfort in that and great inspiration from that. So, Sean, welcome to the program, brother.
Thanks, Joe.
Fatherhood, it seems like, it's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a lost art, but I think, trying to model authentic masculinity for both our sons and our daughters, right? Because, it's more than, I think a lot of times we mistake, fatherhood, what am I doing for my sons? But, beautiful daughters. I'm blessed with a beautiful daughter and Karen. We're modeling what masculinity and manhood looks like for them as much as we are for our own sons. But and I feel like, we'll talk about your father in a minute. And I think there's more pressure on us, though, because I think the village was raising, the kids back then.
Yeah.
When Jim McCarthy wasn't around, somebody else was there to, smack you upside the head or vice versa, for me and my brothers and sisters too. So, now it's like, and not that, you're certainly blessed with, your kids are blessed with great uncles and influencers, but, it's just, gone are the days where a teacher and a coach could kind of grab a kid by the
horn. Yeah, the culture is a little different.
Yeah,
right?
It's just, it's harder. Mm-hmm. So, but talk about your father and his influence on you and just how blessed you were to have a man of that character in your life.
Yeah, sure. I love talking about my father because he was a bigger than life character to me.
Yes, he was.
And, sometimes it's hard to walk in those shoes, right? But I think the great thing about my dad in particular is, you know, my father really loved the Lord, and he gave up a lot to make sure that he took the role of husband, father, and son of God. Very, you know, that was prime
to him,
right? Because he had a life before that commitment to the Lord that could have led him to, you know, a lot of other things and money and
trappings,
right? A lot of other things, and but he had made a decision to follow after the Lord, as many men do after their wife first came to the Lord, right?
Sure.
So my mom kind of did first and really helped lead him there, and I think that was the character of his life as a man that followed the Lord. And you know, my dad had made his money, and he was fairly successful in that bar, entertainment, restaurant type business. But when he came to the Lord, he couldn't stay in that business,
sure,
right? Because a lot of trappings in that business, and he didn't feel right. And so he kind of showed us that, and he went to, you know, he left that to go to a much harder,
less glamorous,
life,
yeah,
less glamorous, less harder life. Really, you know, the good bulk of my life, my dad probably worked three jobs, right? So because it was about providing and
modeling,
and the job became, you know, much more about, you know, really what the job was supposed to be for, right? To end up providing for your family. But it, he didn't find his identity in it, maybe like he did before.
And I could definitely see that. But, you know, you talk about, as you and I are on the back nine of our lives, right? Hopefully we got another 30 to 40 in us. But, you know, your legacy is, that's all you have. That's all you're leaving.
Yeah.
You know, you're not,
true.
I mean, and what a legacy he left for both his sons and his daughters.
Yes.
Because you and I talk all the time about the male influence in terms of discipleship, right? I mean, you know, if a mother alone brings her children to church on Sundays, you know, those adults are less than 50% likely to go to church as adults. But when the father's involved in worship, the number goes up like, you know, 30-40%.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and the important, and what a gift that was for you and your brothers, especially for you to recognize, you know, the sacrifices that he had to make to follow the Lord and to walk the straight and narrow and to model, you know, what Catholic, you know, Christian adult manhood looks like.
Right. And, you know, Joe, I think the greatest thing that my dad gave me and gave my siblings is the humbleness, the vulnerability, to kind of say, listen, I'm not perfect, right? But I will continue to get up. If I fall, I will get up. If I fail you as my children, I will get up and come back and try to be the best father I can be. If him and my mother, you know, we didn't see a whole lot of that. You know, they had a pretty solid relationship.
Sure.
But I'm sure there were times where they, you know, they may have hurt each other, failed each other, whatever. It was just this constant thought process and this constant reminder of who we are and who you are as a child of God. And you just continue to get up and fight the good fight. You don't quit, right? And
blessing that is.
And I think that's probably the biggest thing my dad showed me in everything that he did is you don't quit. Times are tough. In fact, he assured us they were going to be tough. You know, he created a bit of a tough environment himself in the home because I think he knew what the world was like.
Sure.
Right? And he wasn't, you know, nothing was going to be given to us for free. Not that he had it to give to us for free anyway.
Sure.
But if he did, he wouldn't have given it to us for free, right? Well, you know, he raised 12 children, right? And, you know, sometimes I think about that. You know, I have six, right?
Sure.
And, you know, you have six, you have seven, you have eight people. No.
That's double.
That's double,
yeah.
Right? So, you know.
Tuition,
right.
Food, clothes, it's double.
Problems.
Short problems, right? No doubt.
So you're right, it's double. And then to think about that is just amazing. But that attitude of, you know, continue to move forward, continue to press on. You're not the sum of your sins, right? You make a mistake, we get back up. And so I think that's really probably the greatest thing that my dad ever modeled.
And what a gift that is, yeah. No doubt. You know, I see you as a kind of an amazing blend of both mom and dad. You know, you have that, you know, you have your dad's, you know, hardness and toughness, and then you have your mom's you know, sensitivity and warmth and welcoming, you know, big heart.
Yeah.
What ways do you see yourself like your father, Sean?
Certainly, you know, listen, you know, when our parents are raising us up, things rub off, and, you know, some of it is nature, you know, because you're half of them, right?
Sure.
And some of it's, you know, mentoring and tutoring and,
sure.
and you know,
modeling.
So, you know, certainly in my life, you know, what was modeled for me is that you know, whether I had it inside me, whether it was a nature type thing, I'm not sure. But what certainly I learned very early in life, Joe, is that never back down from a challenge, never quit. You know, and you put your, you know, I always had the sense, my dad looked at the, you know, if he met the President of the United States and met the janitor at Angelia Sumter Academy,
yeah.
you know, he treated them both the same, right? And that was something that was modeled for me, and it's how I try to live my life.
That's amazing.
In terms of, you know, just naturally, you know, that nature type thing, I certainly see some probably, you know, sometimes the temper and some of those things that I wish I didn't inherit from him that sometimes I do. But also, I think it's funny, you touched and you said about the sensitivity, and all my mom certainly has that. But for as rough and as big of a...
I knew his sensitivity.
He had a tremendous sensitivity.
And he had an amazingly big heart.
He did. And, you know, and just I think about you all the time, you know, because we were friends
sure.
for your kids. And I love that Joey Trainer.
Oh, yeah, gosh. I have vivid memories of your dad as I got, you know, I was, you know, fat little kid in your basement. We're boxing, gloves on and all, and you end up tuning me up, and your dad had just this comfort. They had this big, you know, big hug, and he'd be like, "You're going to be great," you know, in
yeah.
life. And he just, well, he did. And that, and I don't want to, the grit and the tough exterior, like for those of us that were fortunate enough to know him, knew that there was much more than that underneath. And he was definitely, when I think of men in that era, like he was one of the first guys that exposed me that, you know, you can be tough and follow the Lord.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Right? And certainly me too. And you can be tough in love.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, he loved my mom. They would take walks. And it's okay to love your wife,
absolutely.
Right? And it's okay to, you know, I didn't, you know, he wasn't looking for every opportunity in the world to sit down and have these deep conversations
sure.
with me. He was a father of a big family. But I'll tell you what, when I needed him, he gave you the biggest hug in the world, and he said, "Hey, I love you. Your mother loves you. You're going to be okay. Keep moving forward."
That's
kid.
Awesome.
You know?
So. You told me something a couple of years ago, and it's always stuck with me. But when a father can tell his son, "I believe in you," the power that comes from that,
yeah.
you know, and I've ever since you told me that, I try and say that to all three of my kids often, because that's powerful. You know,
yeah,
and then
I think
when
it's important, right?
It really is. Really is. You know, your father dies a tragic, you know, tragically young death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there your mom is, you know, 12 kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris is how old? The baby's how old?
He wasn't three yet, so
yeah,
he was still
two. You know, so you're like, oh, my gosh, you know. And then, you know, your brother, Brian, talks very proudly of, you know, you kind of being the older brother who kind of the one, even though you're not the oldest, but the one who assumed, you know, those mentor roles that, you know, with the loss of a father. How old was Brian when your father passed? So Chris was 2.5.
Chris was 2. Brian was 6, I believe.
And how old was Danny?
And Danny, so I was 18. Danny was 13.
Yeah, so you're like, that's a big responsibility,
yeah.
you know, for you to kind of, take on because you're still figuring out who you are, you know, and that had to be incredibly challenging. But Brian, when I talked to him on the show, he just talked about your ability to kind of mentor and guide and say, you know, and be strong with opinions. Hey, man, don't do that. Stay away from that. That's not going to, you know, bring you happiness. And and I remember your father's funeral like it was yesterday. Every time I go to IHM, I think of your dad, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think of his funeral and his viewing. And was that something, you know, there you are, 18, you know, kind of figuring out your life. And then, you know, did you just make a decision, a conscious decision, an unconscious decision to kind of just say, hey, these kids need, and I'm not just your brothers, but your sisters as well.
Sure.
But do they need, you know, do you feel like your role has to be, you know, expanded now?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, first of all, there was a lot of love in our home.
No
doubt. And that was definitely cultivated by our parents, and it was very much a pack mentality, right? You know, that's just a lot of the Irish Catholic, you know. You can say something. You can say
we don't care what the neighbors are doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that happen inside the home, but God forbid someone outside tries to, you know, you're thick as thieves. So there was certainly that, you know, that was fostered in our home, and certainly someone, you know, that I knew that was important, right? But I really, for me, you know, I had my own struggles because my dad died, right?
Sure.
And I felt, man, I really felt alone. I was fighting at the time, Joe, if you remember.
And you and him had that was a special relationship, and not taking nothing away from his relationship with your brothers, but like that was a bond that was exclusively yours.
It really was, and it forged a lot of time between him and I because
early morning
runs,
yeah,
and
drives,
you know, the drives and the whole thing. And you know, my dad had fought, so I think it was an extension of him to
sure.
a certain extent. So you know, I was going through all that, and you know, it's funny, as he passed, you know, that drive in me to continue to
sure.
excel, you know, was starting to wane, and I was starting to figure out, do I want this for me? And, you know, whatever. And I'm going through the things that other kids are going through, except that, you know, probably some other kids are going away to college, and that wasn't
sure.
the opportunity that we had at that time. And so I'm trying to figure it out. I'm working and this, that, and the other thing. But really for me is when I met my wife, I was 20. I met Terry, and, you know, I think there was a real sense of, so now Brian's 8, you know, Chris is 4, Ryan Marie's 6, Kristen's 10, and, you know, Danny's 15. And I think there was a real sense of, I needed, you know, I was getting a little more stability in my
sure.
life. And I thought, hey, I need to really reach back with these guys. I loved them. I wanted to be with them. But also, I thought, you know, there was a huge responsibility to step into their lives. And you know, and then I started having children pretty quickly.
Sure.
Right. So they were kind of raised with my own kids.
Sure.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It was cool to hear Brian reflect back on those, you know, here he is, like, you know, this, and again, whether you feel the void that comes, whether it's by death or by choice, right? The void that comes, and you see in society mm-hmm. today, with someone that doesn't have a father
yep.
to show what masculinity, like what real men looks
yeah.
like, and what a real man looks like. You know,
yeah.
there's nothing sexy about putting your feet on the ground every day, and you know, and going to work and providing for your family, or you know, putting everyone in the family, you know, out in the forefront. Maybe you're in the back
yep.
background, you know, letting everyone else glow in the sun, you know. And, you know, and I knew when I talk about, you know, the phrase, and I hate the phrase, but toxic masculinity. Like, I hate that expression, but I do, it really consumes me. Like, when I, for both my sons and my daughter. My daughter's 17, and, you know, she's a beautiful girl, and, you know, what type of people are you attracting into your life, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, and then my sons, you know, like, you know, they're you know, 21 and you know, going to be 20. And then it's like, okay, well, like, you know, what do you want to be? What do you want to be known as? What type of character do you want to represent? And I feel like, you know, I feel sometimes, and I love when my sons go to old school Men of Faith, because, you know, just seeing, and they love it too, unbelievably, because they get to see real guys, you know, that are just, you know, vulnerable and fragile and trying to work through certain things and be good husbands and fathers, you know, but, you know, it does, I look back at Jimmy McCarthy and Coach Moore and teachers you had, just like you had, and not that our dads didn't do a great job, but they had so much support.
Yeah.
You know, the village was raising all of us.
Well, and I think the other thing, Joe, and I think it's important, is the culture back then encouraged men to be men more.
Absolutely.
Right? So today, and, you know, and I think it's a process, but through the 80s, 90s, today, you know, you have the dumb dad on TV as exposed.
Absolutely.
as opposed to maybe years ago when you had Father Knows Best and
yeah.
these type of things. The culture really shifted to Father Knows Best to Al Bundy, right?
Sure.
So, you know, and listen, you know, it's not all about the culture, but it certainly influences
no doubt
what's going on out there. And
I'll tell you what, I struggle with Sean a lot, and I've talked to you a decent amount about it, but for me, like, we're on the back nine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that it's easy for us to be principled, because, you know, we're cognizant you may not get a promotion if you do or say something that, mm-hmm. you know, isn't part of mainstream, right? But, you know, for your kids, you're like, I'm always worried about, you know, potential in the cancel culture of today, like, mm. you know, certainly wanting them to stand up for themselves, but also I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried about some of those ramifications.
Sure.
For a 21-year-old and a 19-year-old, and even my daughter. I'm laughing because my daughter, me and my wife and my daughter we were meeting my sons at a diner down here, right down the road, at Manila's Diner in Wayne. So we came down to Villanova's Mass last night, and honest to God, Sean, there was five people in the whole church that didn't have a mask on.
Oh, really?
There was 500 people in the church.
Wow.
And Mo and I are like kind of in the back corner, like just like, oh, it's funny. I don't want somebody to kick us out. Mm-hmm. Doesn't my daughter go right up to like the middle of the pew, sits her rear end right in the middle of the pew, no mask. You know, and I'm like, I just, that fortitude, I loved it. I loved seeing
sure.
that type of strength.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were laughing because if somebody came up to me and said, do you have a mask? I probably went, oh, I don't have one. You know, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
My daughter would have just smiled and said, no, I don't have one.
Right.
No.
Right.
And, but you, so you kind of navigate, you know, the world of consequences, you know, in their life.
Sure.
You know, and then, but also being true to themselves too, you know?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you're young, you probably wouldn't have, you know, you're like, no, this is what I believe in. Once you start having other people that you care for, now it impacts them, right?
100%.
The decisions. So now you start thinking differently. But, no, Joe, certainly the culture that we're living in now is different, right? And, my gosh, you say one thing wrong, and, I mean, I look at some of these coaches that have said things, Gruden
sure.
just lost his job, and, you know, you can get into the merits of what they said and what they didn't say.
Sure.
But it's just, where are we as a culture when someone can't say anything, and when they make a mistake and say something, they lose their jobs.
Yeah, I guess to me, the biggest tragedy in this whole thing is I look back at when I was like, you know, whether it was prejudiced or hate or malice in my heart, you know, the only way you widen your lens is by getting exposed to opinions that might be different than yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the problem, you know, I think with so many young people is nobody's having honest conversations
right.
anymore.
Right.
You know, and neither party, I joke around, my dad was a Republican, my mom was a Democrat. Like that, you mentioned, like, you know, like that, you know, although I'm not getting political here, but
right.
like those types of, you know, unions, you know, are no longer, you know, even an option, you know.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Sean. You got an amazing six, half a dozen, beautiful, successful, you know, but, you know, really all your kids are kind of off and running now.
Yeah.
You know, you know, and your role as a father for both your sons and your daughters is changing. You know, I said to you yesterday when we were talking, you know, you kind of, there's a bit of a mourning process that happens too.
Absolutely.
I know I have it for me. Like, it's like, damn, like, they don't, you know, they need you in a different way, but gone are the days of running to games or
sure.
daddy, you know, you're this, you know, this Superman, you know, superhero figure. you know, and then they kind of see you with your warts, right? You know, you get older, and but parenting changes. You know, your counsel's much different than it was with Ryan and your other sons, you know, than it was, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago. You
right.
know?
Yeah, and then, you know, wait till Kara meets the man that she's going to marry. And he starts becoming...
He and I are going to have a couple
and
conversations.
And he's the superhero, right? Yeah. <You're>
like, absolutely. Absolutely.
You feel replaced.
Seriously.
Right? Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. No, Joe, we've talked about that a lot. And for me, my role changed a lot. I was very much a father that was present, right? So, you know, I worked very hard. But when I came home, my focus was with my family and the sports and
sure.
just the different things that they do, the different activities, few musicians in the family, different things. And I certainly wanted to encourage them to be everything they could be, have all the opportunities that they could have. And, pretty blessed. A few of the sons got to play ball in college. Yeah. Daughter got to go play lacrosse in college. But they all kind of grew up and they're trying to follow the Lord, which is the most important thing to me, right? And but you know, at the end of the day, they're going to grow up. You raise them to spread their wings,
no
right
doubt.
And they're going to spread them, and they're going to start their own lives. And now, as you know, we just had our sixth grandchild, right? Little Isabella, Sean Michael, and
sure.
Christina. And and then my daughter Katie's pregnant with our number 7.
That's awesome.
And that'll be due in a few weeks, and actually any day now. So we'll have 7 grandchildren, and just the whole dynamic changes. And just one of the things you said about, you know, there's a sorrow when you start transitioning. I really felt that. And, you know, everyone's different. But for me, I probably took it harder than Terry did, because I had so much of my identity wrapped
sure.
up in being a father
sure.
to my children. The other thing is interesting, you know, I was 18 when my dad died. He still had all these younger children. I never really experienced my dad at that next
sure.
level of life, right?
I say all the time, I pray to God I'm around long enough to have adult relationships
exactly.
with my kids.
Yeah. When they left, it was hard. You know, even going away to college, I knew it wasn't quite going to be the same. And then when they get married, that's a whole other door. You know, my daughter just got
sure.
married last Saturday, and so that's a whole other thing. And but you know, you find a different role in their lives. For the daughters, you have to absolutely understand that they have someone in their life who is now their husband, who loves them, and he's now charged with protecting, honoring,
sure.
and all those things. Doesn't mean that you ever stop, but there's a different place for you.
He was
now.
Warned. He
yeah,
was warned.
Exactly, right? And for my sons, you know, that relationship just seemed a little more morphed, a little more naturally as they're getting into things, business, different things. Hey, Dad, what do you think about this? It's just different. It's more you did the work, and now they'll come to you as they need to talk through things. And then you let them go. And you let them go. Go ahead. Go make that decision, right? You know, this is what I would do. But
sure.
You do what you – and it's
giving them the platform to fail, too. Like, you know, that's
absolutely.
That reason.
Yep.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back with one of the great ones, Sean McCarthy, talking about fatherhood through the eyes of a Catholic man.
My name is Peter Marsico, and I'm a proud sponsor of Kathleen McCarthy and Joe Traina's radio ministry. I am a general agent with the Knights of Columbus, servicing the state of Delaware and southern New Jersey. I lead a select team of financial professionals who serve the Catholic community. We teach Catholic families about the importance of financial planning and how to secure their futures. We have the highest ratings from Standard & Poor's and AM Best, and all of our products are morally invested. You can contact me at my office for a free analysis at 609-335-5189 or email me at peter.marsico, M-A-R-S-I-C-O, at K-O-F-C, short for Knights of Columbus, www.soulsonfire.org. Take care and God bless.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, with Sean McCarthy. Topic for the night is fatherhood through the eyes of a Catholic man. You know, Sean, we were joking around before the program, right? I said my analogy is you push the rewind button and the play button at the same time, because you know you bring your manhood or what you view as manhood, into the relationship as a father, and you reflect back on, you know, you're pushing the rewind button because you're reflecting back on your experience as the son of a father, you know, a great man. And then you're also trying to live, you know, forge your own. We were talking about at the break, right? Forge who you are as a father. A lot of which is Jim McCarthy,
right?
But not all of which is Jim McCarthy,
exactly.
You know, and then you are. You're faking it till you make it. You know what I mean? You're trying to. You know, there's no manual that you're reading, and you can. There's some things that you have great frames of reference. Hey, this is how my father handled this, and that worked out well. Or this is something my father did when this came up, and it went over like a lead balloon. So we're going to not do that. But it's a daunting task, you know, if you stop and think about it, because especially for those of us like you, like that's your legacy. And I know, you know, making money is important to all of us, and providing is always important to us, but never at the expense of the lessons that you need to give as a father. So, you know, and then also wrestling with your own woundedness. You know what I mean? Your things that you're bringing to the role that, you know, maybe never healed for you or me, or, you know, and also trying to reconcile that as you take on this new role.
Yeah.
You know, it can be daunting, you know?
Yep, absolutely. You know, one thing, Joe, too, I think, is our parents, no one talked about
anything.
When they were growing up, no one talked about their woundedness.
Sure.
And they had plenty of it.
No
right?
doubt.
You know, they're World War II, you know, kids and the whole nine yards, and, you know, that greatest generation, or, you know, or our parents might be just right after that.
Yep.
And, you know, no one was caring about, no one thought to that, you know, to talk about what they were going through, but they carried a lot with them, right? And, you know, especially in the Irish Catholic culture, right, it's very much of...
There's no soft landing.
No, you just kind of bury that and you move forward. And,
that's,
you
know, what alcohol's for, right?
Right. And how many, you know, right? And
absolutely.
How much we've seen that over the years.
No doubt. Is,
you know, it comes out in different ways. Nothing's changed about
humanity.
People.
No
humanity.
Doubt. Since
it
the
still
beginning
comes
of time.
Out.
Absolutely.
It still needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
It's just now, with all the junk that's out there, probably one of the good things, especially in Christian, you know, and in Catholic circles, is that, you know, there's more of an awareness to get to the heart, right? So
Absolutely.
That you can be the best man that God created you to be.
No doubt.
And I don't think our parents heard that much. And I think we're having the opportunity to hear it a little bit more. And I think that's what our group's about a lot, right? Old school men of faith.
No doubt. So. I mean, you talk about that. You know, you started Old School Men of Faith, you know, what is it, about 3 years ago?
Yeah, Joe, we were 2 years in August, so we're coming up on 2.5 years, you know, 2 years or so.
And it continues to grow and expand, you know, every I look at the last 4 or 5 months, I mean, it just seems like we've gotten another 6 to 10.
Amen.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's, what is it, probably 45 strong, Sean?
So we have that app, Joe, that we communicate back and forth, and I think there's 48 names on the
That's
app.
That's awesome, man.
And then, you know, I'd say a small crowd for us is 18 to 20 on a given Saturday, and a nice-sized crowd's closer to 25,
sure.
26, right? So, you know, every now and again we have a speaker come in, we'll get over 30 or so.
Sure.
So it's, you know, a good crowd. And
did you, you know, and again, I look at Old School as more of like there's certainly a overwhelming, overarching spiritual theme, but it's as much about, I feel like it's a weekly lesson in fatherhood.
Amen.
You know, and when you started it, did you see that, or was it kind of just like?
I think it kind of morphed into that. Certainly, I think, though, because you're one of the founding guys with it with me, right? So, you know, I think what was being laid on my heart is there was a real gap out there in the culture.
Sure.
A real gap, and men needed to fill it. The women, you know, there are a lot of godly women stepping up and doing it.
Oh, no doubt.
But, you know, men. There was a lack of men, and I think that's, you know, you and I talked, and start with Joe, 6-7 guys in a restaurant at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday morning, and you know, and God's really taken it off and blessed it. But I think, I really think our mission is about three things, you know, being the best husbands we can be, being the best fathers we can be, and being the best men we can be. We always say in our businesses, our communities, our church, and even with each other, right? I mean, how often you and I make sure we get to Mass in the morning?
Sure.
That's just that touch, right? That, no, hey, doubt. Brother, let's get to Mass. Let's, you know.
Keeping the bar high,
keeping
too.
The bar high for each other. You
no
know?
Doubt. I think that's the standard's the standard. We'll fall short every chance we get.
Yep.
But if there's other, and I've said this before, like if I feel like I have less, I have no problem disappointing myself. But if I think other people are going to hold me to a standard that's going to keep me high and on the straight and narrow, then I'm much more inclined to meet that standard.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you, honest to God, Sean, like in the 3 years, you know, all the meetings I've been, I have gotten so many nuggets from so many different people.
How about it?
You know, and it's amazing. Like I just, my recall, and I don't have a great memory. I really don't. I can't tell you what I had for breakfast this morning,
right.
But I could tell you like when so-and-so, when Steve Hudak said this, or Tommy Moore said this, or Mr. But Greg White said something to me, and I was just, it was. Dr. Greg White. He said, you know, we're gifted with these young people. They're not really ours.
Amen.
You know, they're God's, you know, and this was, we were entrusted, you know, the care of this child, you know, for, you know, hopefully 70, 80, 90 years.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of the infinite,
nothing, right?
You know, nature of salvation, it's nothing. So when he said that to me, you know, it totally shifted my paradigm. And in terms of like my kids, you know, not that they were serving my needs, but like, you know, they were supposed to be, sources of pride or, you know, self-aggrandizement, you know, making me, hey, aren't I a great, you know, look at me, I'm the father, you know, what a great father I am. And then like for when he said that, and it was, and I bawled like a kid in the car that day. And when he said that, it totally shifted my paradigm.
Yeah.
Like I was like, man, you are just so selfish. And like, my responsibility. And I know, I knew kind of like abstractly, like I was responsible to provide for them and to show them. But like when he said that, like, and then all the challenges that have come up since then with all three of my kids, I'm taking that not as a burden, but as a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
To make sure that God made the right decision, giving me these beautiful kids, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, Joe, there's a freedom in it, too, because sometimes, at least from my perspective, because I think Greg, Dr. Greg, well, he does a great job at that. I, you know, pretty friendly with Greg, and I watch him, and he doesn't wrap up as much of his identity and things like that in his children's accomplishments.
No doubt.
Right? So, not that they're not accomplished either.
No.
But it's just that, you know, he does a really good job of understanding that my primary role is to raise them up in the faith, you know, love their mother, and show them love.
As much as any guy that we have in the group.
Yep.
He shows that to
you. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's amazing.
Where you know, I'm a lot like, you know, we got a lot of A's. Not that Greg's not an A, but we have a lot of real A alpha, right? And I think sometimes those children in our minds, especially our sons, tend to be an extension of us, right?
No doubt.
And we look, and this is what we want for you. You know, this is,
sure.
I want you to stay on this course. And sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of freedom to just let them be gods.
Sure.
You know, let God take
Amen.
Over and love them, trust in them. You know they got what it takes. And that's kind of the best thing you tell them, right? I know you got what it takes. You know, do the right things. I'm always going to be on you to do the right things.
Sure.
But you can be who God made you to be. Maybe, you know, you might not be exactly what I dreamed you were going to be.
Sure.
It might be, you know, something way better.
Sure.
Know?
And it's funny. Like, you just, like, you showing enough humility to do that is something I still need to work on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old. Like, 40 years ago, they might have been in the Army.
Right.
Serving in a war. You know, like,
yep.
So, you know, I have my, you know, as you know, my strong opinions and thoughts, but just giving them the platform to be their own men.
Mm-hmm. And, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, but it's still as our I think we're all blessed. It's a big time challenge because you just, especially when they, when they do something that maybe you wouldn't do, mm-hmm. And you're like, damn, but you have to, being blessed with the humility from God to say, yo, dude, this isn't your race.
Right.
You ran your race.
Yeah.
This is not about you right now. And it's having a good wife and their mother to be able to kind of kick you in the rear end or hit you upside the head when you can't recognize that is always important.
Joe, I think with our group too, Old School Man of Faith is, maybe we let the people know that we meet every Saturday now. What are we, 8 a.m. now?
8 a.m.
Because we moved a little farther out. Our group got too big for where we were holding it, so now we're up at the Shrine of Our Lady of Chestahova. 8 a.m. every Saturday. And it's open to, all men, all Christian men. Really open to anyone who wants a deeper relationship with the Lord, right?
Yeah.
But also the one thing that I was really, based on our last segue there, the last thing we talked through is, a little bit is how we, the scripture says iron sharpens iron, right? And that's really what we're about, isn't it, Joe?
Oh, my God.
Iron sharpens
iron.
No
doubt.
I think you mentioned Steve Hudak, JW, Tommy Moore, obviously Coach Moore, the range of the guys that come. We got some kids that are, DJ comes, he's 16.
Sure.
Your sons come, they're college age. And then we have this
Steve. Both Steves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We
have a gamut of different personalities,
but the
different styles.
The wealth of experience. Like, there's not one guy that's not enriching the group.
Exactly.
And when you hear their story and their background, Rob, right? I mean, there's just the beauty. That's God. You can tell it's God's work. Because,
absolutely.
Like, this group, there's like a 0.001 chance that this group would be friends, interactive, with one another, co-workers, like the gamut of temperaments, talents, styles, personalities.
Right. 16 to 80, every different, coaches.
Millionaires to janitors,
exactly.
Bartenders, everything in between.
It really is.
And everybody brings something to the table.
Well, it's funny. I had lunch with our good friend Kurt Warner a week or two ago, and Kurt's got a lot going on. He's got grandkids and, got a big business he's running, and I reached out and said, hey, buddy, how you doing? We get together. We're talking a little bit. And, Kurt just shared with me, and I don't think he'd mind me saying this, but, I'm a little quieter. And Kurt can tend to be a little on the quieter side when it comes to that. But you and I know the presence that he has and what he brings. And I said, you know what, though? You are a huge presence and figure in the group.
No doubt.
And I just think that speaks to what God's doing in our group, because really what God's doing is, everyone is just extremely valuable to the group.
No doubt.
And it's all, it's just this big, everyone adds something, even
no
if
doubt.
You don't have a lot to say.
Well, I look at Kurt.
Kurt's our novena guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's all, for me, what else he is, too? It's like, he's, like we all do, right? With spouses, kids, life, work. He has issues, but you would never know. Like, the thing I love about Kurt, you don't know if he's up 20 or down 20.
Yep, he's
steady as the day is long. Truly, as much as any friend is trusting the Lord and offering all of it up to God. And there's beauty in that. I mean,
what a blessing that is to you and a guy
and
me who can be up and down.
No
right?
doubt, it's like a high roller coaster.
You know when we're on top,
and you know when we're on bottom.
You know we're on
hey,
bottom.
I don't want you to have a good time. I'm miserable right now. You're coming crabs in a bucket right here. We're bringing it down.
Exactly.
You and I laugh about this sometimes, but the beauty of strong faith is, you are able to see yourself with warts and all, and I look back at, like the arrogance. I was like, there was not a more arrogant Catholic than I was for probably 35 years.
It's easy to point the finger.
Right? Oh my gosh. And there's four more pointing back at you when you do it.
Yeah.
Right. But, had all the answers known to man. And then, and then life kicks you in the face a little bit. And then through God's grace, you gain some humility, and the more you dial in, the more humble you become. you know, which is the great, you know, the great blessing of faith, right? The more you're giving to the relationship, the more you're getting back. But you and I have talked about this a bunch. You know, here we are, you know, you're 54, I'm 53, right around there. And then, you know, when we see our own shortcomings in our kids, right? Like, yeah. nothing sets me off. And both my boys are, and my daughter, like, nothing quite triggers me as much as when I see, man, that was Joe Trainer right there.
Absolutely.
Through and through.
And that's negative. Your ugliest.
Yes,
too, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, and there's the gamut of emotions, right? There's guilt because, God, I wish it just skipped a generation. Or why couldn't I have broken
that
cycle?
That's my fault right there.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely in the DNA. And, you know, and then, you know, because we're trying to break cycles. You know what I mean? Like, amen. I look at, you know, having conversations, and our dads were carbon copies of one another. Didn't say a lot, you know, tried to model, you know, what Catholic, you know, adulthood looked like, you know, manhood looked like. But, you know, and I look back at some things, well, I wish my dad was a little more this, that, and the other. It wasn't until like 3 years ago. I'm like, well, who's to say he's not 1,000% better than his father? At that?
Right, exactly.
You know, and hopefully my kids are your kids are 1,000 times better.
Yeah.
At those shortcomings that you have. But yeah. Man, oh man, when you see those shortcomings and you're looking back and it's a mirror, yeah. You know, it's just tough to swallow sometimes.
Yeah. I'll say a few things about that. Is one, and you really, over the years, have really impressed this upon me. The church should look more like a hospital, right?
Amen.
Isn't that what you've told me many times? And our group, we try to model our group like that, much more like, hey, we're a hospital.
Yeah.
For guys to come.
And wounded and all.
Wounded and all. Because that's how God accepts us. You know, he says he goes out after, leaves the 99 and goes after the one.
Amen.
You know? And if we're really going to be Christ-like, you know, we have to have that kind of heart and love. He came for the sinner, right?
Amen.
You know, look at just some of the beautiful scenes in Scripture. The woman at the well.
Yeah.
Yes, I know you've had multiple husbands. What do you say, five?
Yeah.
Exactly. And the one you're living with is not your husband now. And you know, certainly the woman caught in adultery. And, you know, I think where he had the biggest issue is the people that didn't recognize their works, right? The hypocrites, you
Pharisees,
brood of vipers and this and that. You know, you're saying everything that's right, but you got no love in your heart, and you fail to see, you know, your own sinfulness, your own need for me. You fail to see your own need for me. So I think one of the things we try to do at Old School is, and I think it comes natural because I think we're all pretty aware of our shortcomings,
no
right?
Doubt.
But to be more of a hospital, and I mean, I think you do, you know, you've really helped us there. It's harder to do that with our kids, to look at them and say, hey, you know, they need that same kind of mercy, that same kind of grace, right? Because we just want to. We want to grind it. We want to drive the hammer, and we want them to be what we want.
It's funny. It's funny though. You said that, like, as excited as I was when my sons first came to Old School, I was nervous,
right?
Because I was like, am I ready for them to see me? Because I was at that. I think Liam was probably 19 when
he
first came, and Dylan was probably 17, and I'm like, man. They probably know I'm this flawed son of a gun that, like, fails them every day.
But you weren't sure.
I wasn't sure. I mean, so I was like, and then
you weren't
I was
sure what they were observing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they weren't tuned in there. Yeah. Hopefully they were on their phone when Dad was saying that, right?
Yeah.
But or doing that road rage or something.
Yeah.
But then seeing the way they embraced and really, you know, just kind of took such a I mean, Dylan wants to get a tattoo of our shirt,
right?
You know,
yeah,
you know, the head
down, right?
Yeah,
devil thought I was defeated, but here I was praying.
Yeah,
I said amen, right?
And we were talking about that at dinner last night, but you know, just thankfully I didn't let my own arrogance or fear, you know, get in the way, because when they come, they I said to you before, like,
Joe, what I love is they've come when you're not there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is,
it's powerful.
You know, yeah,
definitely.
That says a lot, right?
And, you know, and I think for them, too, like, and I'm not being critical of maybe the flatness of worship or some stuff like that, but, you know, we can get as much out of that. If sometimes we gain more from that, you know, that study of Bible scripture, people mm-hmm. given testimonies, it's as powerful as attending a great worship on Sunday.
Yeah. And it's about authenticity, I think, ultimately. I think ultimately what attracted, you know, when my dad died, you remember that funeral, you know, just lines and lines. Your dad, same thing, right? Why? They were simple men.
No doubt.
They had no amazing achievements. Why? Authenticity. People were attracted to it. They were men. And, you know, they were men. They were true to themselves, warts and all.
Absolutely.
And what I think people hopefully see at Old School is the same thing, is that authenticity. And I think that's what we're trying to, you know, show our children. Be true to what, be true to yourself. Be true to God. Be true to the family that you were raised in.
No doubt.
But also be true to you, you know.
And that for, and I don't even know if you and I can really empathize. Like there, I couldn't sit like with social media and the projection of like, you know, it's all, you know, it's a house of cards, right?
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile? I mean, we were worried about a cute girl that, getting a hand-me-down that didn't look awkwardly bad on me, that maybe, you know, if I was going to a dance or something.
Right.
Going out to a bar to dinner or something. You know, but now their need to the public self for these kids, you know, and the private self, kind of marrying that up and knowing that, it's all this, social media, look at me culture.
Well, Joe, even you coaching, right? And I'm sure it's one of the reasons why you decided I'm going another direction. Everything's about the brand, right?
Absolutely.
Even at the 1AA level
high school.
At the high school level now, it's all about these kids' brands. And, you know, I just, God, you imagine Lombardi and guys, rolling over in their grave. But, you know, you're right. It's And I think that's where hopefully we're coming in and trying to ground them.
Absolutely.
That's part of our responsibility too as men, to come in and ground them. Because the reality is, Joe, and you know it, this is all short-lived. This minute of fame. Everyone wants their minute of fame. What? That's a minute. What happens to the rest of your life?
Yeah.
How are you going to live that, right?
No doubt.
And hopefully we focus them more on, I think, you know, I think of a lot is, and I give him a shout out because I think of my brother Brian, right?
No doubt.
Who was pretty, pretty accomplished, right?
Absolutely.
You know, big CEO out in,
Silicon Valley
out there, right? And, you know, real up and comer in that business. Brian does a really good job of not, of realizing, here today, gone tomorrow.
Amen.
Right? It doesn't matter. Look at a guy like Lefty with it, and just did the show on.
Your brother Brian, as much as anybody I've ever met, has handled success, worldly success, as well as anybody. Because he has this incredible. He knows who he is. He's authentic, and he's in a crazy, pseudo-arrogant kind of way, he has a humility that's Christ-like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And you can break his stones about the,
yeah.
you know, when he comes across that way, and you can say, oh, Brian, shut up, but he really is. Like, there's a humility there because he knows all of this isn't about him.
Right.
I mean, even the prayer that he sent to this morning, I mean, that was, from St. Basil the Great. I read that twice. I was like, man, going into your closet and saying, man, thanks for this wardrobe, God. Going down and making a cup of coffee. Hey, thank you for that. Looking at your bank statement on your phone and be like, man, thank you, Lord, for the money in there, that account. Just all of it. Like, it's, and because we have, they're by the grace of God, right? We, there's so many other people, divinity at play here.
You know, Joe, one of the things that you just brought to my mind, and Brian sending that, but I think, again, a theme of, as men, what we want to promote and share out there with our children and, is that, this whole idea of being thankful. Right? There is such a depression. For these kids who have everything, they're so depressed. We had nothing. We were lucky when we were growing up, you had a basketball. We went and played ball all day. You had a football.
You never ate out.
Stuff kept you happy all day long. A bat and a ball. You got a few gloves. Let's go play.
No doubt.
These kids have everything, but so much depression. But I don't think you know, I think it's important for us to foster that thankfulness for
gratitude
everything we
is
have.
Everything.
Yeah, you know, the big CEO and, you know, trading in the wife for the younger wife. And
absolutely.
Because for some reason he's, you know, he thinks he's entitled to something.
No
or
doubt.
He's not happy with what he has.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's something that we have to look at our own hearts and say, are we being grateful? Are we being, because, you know, it's so easy to turn and say, look at this ungrateful generation, right? And I'm sure our parents did that too, but are we modeling gratefulness?
Absolutely.
Are we modeling thankfulness? Are we, you know, on our knees saying, God, thank you
no doubt.
That I got up this morning. Thank you for this wife you gave me. Thank you for the children, you know, and the job that I have.
Absolutely.
Or are we always trying to climb to the next
step? Well, the other thing, too, comparison is the thief of happiness, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, oh, my God, what's Sean McCarthy have? Oh, that's you know, that's bull.
And going to social media, Facebook,
absolutely.
All that shows is the fake image, right?
100%.
Oh, we just went on this vacation
sure.
here. And then all of a sudden your wife starts saying, you never take me to this island.
What's absolutely.
Going on? You know,
and nobody's posting, hey, just had a blowout fight with my wife. I hope this marriage can
right.
can overcome it or,
yeah.
you know, something
Amen.
Like that. It's just, you know, that's why I tell you, when I did get off of social media, I felt so liberated.
Me too, Joe.
It was like, you know, I know Brian doesn't. He hasn't been on in years.
Yep.
But, you know, the not being prisoner to comparison.
Yep.
You know, and I say to my daughter, you know, beautiful way was asking me like 2 months ago like that, I'm not sure I know how to pray. And I said, well, first of all, the fact that you're asking that, God's working through
yeah.
you.
Well, they say dead men don't wrestle,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
And I said, first thing you do, we'll get a prayer journal. And the first thing you do every day when you wake up or early in the morning before things get out of hand, I say, just list 3 to 4 things you're thankful for. It doesn't have
Amen.
To be 40, but just three to four things. And then the next day, don't do the same 3 to 4 things.
Right.
And then you'll end up looking back on 20 pages, Kara, and the blessedness that you acknowledge, you know, when you say, oh, my gosh, man, like, you know, here I am worried about this. She has that new car, that boyfriend, all of it. Like and then you realize, man, you know, you're look at the
I'm blessed.
People would trade, you know, 98% of girls, 17-year-old girls would trade spots for you. And that's not why you should feel blessed, but like you have an incredible life
Amen.
Right here. You have a family that loves you. You have two parents
mm-hmm.
that make mistakes with you, but that love you
right.
beyond their own life. And then the last thing I want to say is just with fatherhood and manhood. You know, we control the narrative with, you know, with pro-life, right?
Yeah.
Because you know what? It's most of the oftentimes, not most, but it's men who are pressuring women into having abortions.
Sure. Dragging them in,
number
right?
one. We control the narrative with domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
it's not, these are not, you know, these are not female alone. You know, lone-standing female issues. These
mm-hmm.
are family issues.
Right.
And
I think, again, the culture makes it seem like it's a woman's issue.
No doubt.
But it's not. The reality is it's a man issue. A lot of these times, right, especially with the life, how many times do we see it is a man dragging a woman in for a lot of his reasons, too?
Absolutely.
Right? If he would walk alongside that woman, tell her he loves her, he's going to be there for her.
It wouldn't even be an option.
It would never. You don't think that woman wants to bring that child into the world. So you're right. It's about us standing up and
no doubt.
And being the men we're supposed to be.
Keep fighting the fight, brother.
Love you, brother.
Man. Love you, too.
All right.
God bless, folks. Have a great week. Go Eagles. And we'll hopefully you'll tune in next week. It'll be another great show. Thanks again. God bless.
Right.